Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to TF3, where today we're joined by Kristen, and Dave will be joining in a second. Adam is still in France. He was live at the game tonight. We're hoping to get him at some point. Chris, you're on New York streets.
I am indeed. It's busy. There's people everywhere.
Which New York street are you on? Why are you on a New York street?
So at the minute, I believe I am on 42nd Street, heading towards Fifth Avenue.
What are you doing?
Which is like your Times Square.
Okay.
Well, predominantly, I'm covering Copper America, which has been a wonderfully enjoyable experience. It's a lot of players, funnily enough, you don't get to see that often because, again, there's only so much football you can watch and ingest. So it's been, as I touched on when I talked to you last time, it's been a learning experience in so many different ways. But then, you know, I was talking to my dad the other night and I said, you realise there's a chance that in about 7 days' time I'll be watching Lionel Messi and he'll be about 6 feet away from me. Things like that you can't put into words, I think, how special an opportunity that is. And like I said, I'm very fortunate to get that chance to do it.
Well, you are going to get that chance. However, USA may not be so grateful for the chance to face Lionel Messi. But they are in the semi-finals. How do USA rate their chances against one of the best teams in the world on paper?
I think American fans are brutally honest with themselves. What you can say about Argentina is they've never looked thoroughly convincing during this tournament. They've required some very good results, they've scored goals. They've also had little wobbly moments. There's a 15-minute period against Venezuela where the Venezuelans, for all kind of their perception going into the tournament, did dominate things. And if they had a few better, I would say, finishes in the team, they could have really challenged Argentina in that game. Even Tata Martino said afterwards, there was a period where they kind of stopped us playing our game. And I think if the US can take lessons from that, maybe get a bit of fortune, because I think in games like this you need a bounce, then they can cause some trouble. It's just whether those things will all culminate into that perfect storm. It's 21 years since they beat Argentina. Well, they've got to keep it compact. This is perhaps where Venezuela thought they were going to be clever. They put three in midfield and thought if we can shift Messi out wide, then we can stop him being used. What they didn't think of Messi would pull out wide, and instead of side like he used to, he would just pick spots with passes. If you look at the goal for Gonzalo Higuain, it's a beautiful breaking ball, sort of outside to in.
That's beautiful.
It absolutely bamboozles the entire Venezuelan defence, and lets Higuain score what is a beautiful goal from his angle as well, in terms of that applied finish. It's an all-round great team goal, and you would argue it's the kind of situation that is nigh unstoppable.
So, that's the main thing here, isn't it? Is if you were saying that the fans don't tend to get on the players' back as much as they do on Klinsmann's. So is this a good thing that they're playing in this location?
I think so. I think Klinsmann has a very convoluted perception in the United States. There are some who think he's a bit of a charlatan. There are others who think that actually he's getting them results. I mean, they've not competed, I would say, regularly in Copa America, but he's already matched their best ever finish by getting into a semi-final. Now, if he can take them one step further, that in itself is making history. And you know, Alexis Lalas put it quite well, I thought. Sometimes it's not always about playing the pretty stuff. It's about getting results. And yes, in the short term, I think that's a valid point. The long term, which I think a lot of US fans are now starting to look at, he's not building anything. It doesn't feel as if he's building a culture and a synergy amongst the youth teams. And look, I think if he gets to that final, that masks the fact they didn't make the Olympics for starters. It cures a lot of ills, at least in the short term, until the next problem arises.
Who's your call on the other arm of the semi-final?
You know, it's so difficult because I feel like if you asked me 10 minutes in, I could probably predict it quite well. Because on the one hand, you've got Colombia with James, who has this total antithesis to his club situation in the sense that everyone in the Colombian team looks at him and says, this is our guy, we've got to give him opportunities. Now, in fairness, I talked to Ronald Matarrita, the Costa Rican defender at the weekend, who came up against him in the group stages, and he said, actually, James is very good, I won't deny that, but Juan Cuadrado is just as important and just as dangerous. And I think that's a very valid point, and it's something that gets lost in the mire of discussion about Colombia as a national team. There was just moments, so against Peru, where I felt like the pressure was getting to him. Exactly, it was just moments I felt during the Peru game that James was feeling the pressure. Now, I managed to speak to Jason Murillo afterwards, and he said there's no pressure on anyone. It's a team game. James in particular doesn't have pressure on him to perform, but I think I disagree with that, if I'm honest. I think there's a lot of pressure on him to dictate things and be open for everything. And that's a lot of pressure for a guy who, again, hasn't necessarily been trusted at club level. On the other end of that, Chile put on an absolutely sensational performance against Mexico. They ran riot against them. The entirety of the first half, they were just sharper, they were quicker. And you can talk about Juan Carlos Osorio's need to tinker and how that destabilised the Mexican team. It didn't change the fact that Chile were just like a swarm of wasps. Just would not let Mexico settle. And defensively, I have some suspicions and some concerns about Colombia. And I think, personally, if I'm pushed for that reason, I would be inclined to give it to Chile. But saying that, my predictions for this tournament have been so awry, I wouldn't look to put any more...
Yeah, good point. And so, Chris, who's going to be in the final? Who versus who? Although, actually, that feels unfair to make you call at this point.
I think you're looking at Chile-Argentina, and as a consequence of that, you're looking at what will be, I think, a sensational final. Again, I know that in itself is a bold claim. But I think with those two teams, the way they're set up, the way they work, I think you get an absolutely brilliant contest between them.
Not only that, but that sets up for a lovely third place match as well.
It does as well. It gives a chance, I guess you could say, assuming the United States lose, for Klinsmann to make a little bit more history, because in 95 they finished fourth. So if he gets them to third, you can argue, perhaps pedantically, that he's improved things a little bit there. It will be disappointment if they don't make it through, of course. I think the thing with the United States is they've just got to keep focus on that game and trying to make it work, because it's a big ask to stop Higuain and Messi. They've both had brilliant club seasons, but I've seen bigger shots. That's what you've got to keep a hold of if you're an American fan right now. We've seen bigger shots.
Interesting point. Well, Chris, I'm going to let you get back to your New York minute. Thank you very much for joining us on TF3. We'll see you again soon.
Always a pleasure, buddy. Speak soon.
That was fantastic, man. I'll let you get back to New York. Chris Hennish there on Skype, live from New York. Good guy. Poor connection, but still worth listening to. Follow Chris at khenage. Khenage. Joining me now is Squawkadave. Good to have you, Dave.
Yeah, cheers, man. Excellent letters there, Lawrence. Top lettering.
Good try with the lettering, at least. We're here to talk Euro 2016. We just heard Chris talking about Copa America. Let's get straight down to it. England tonight drew against Slovakia to finish second in the group. Wales finished top. Let's go with the dominant Wales first, Dave. Wales, well, I mean, despite losing to England, finished this group on a high.
They really did, you know, that performance against Russia, they really blew them away. It was a very good performance from Wales. The goals were all pretty decent. All coming from turnovers and then breaking quite quickly, really enjoyed the Neil Taylor goal. That was an absolutely fantastic overlap from the wing-back. It's perfect for their system. That's what their system gears to, is getting them in a position to use their wing-backs to create those overloads. You know, Aaron Ramsey had an absolute fantastic game. You know, the top assister at the Euros. His game by numbers was fantastic. Six chances created, six crosses, one goal and one assist. What a performance from Ramsey. And then Gareth Bale breaking records, the first player since Ruud van Nistelrooy in 2004 to score at the Euros.
To score in every game of the
group stages, yeah.
Okay. Interesting stuff. I mean, I was trying to think, you know, England have had a bit of a rough ride of it because, you know, they faced Russia first. That was always going to be a difficult one. But then I thought, you know what? Wales had the same. Wales had Slovakia, who England then drew 0-0 against. So Wales have got a very different approach to this tournament, haven't they, Dave? The sort of open-minded, we'll get what we have, whereas England feel quite different. And it seems if one's inhibiting one team and one is allowing the other to sort of recover as they go.
Yeah, well, I think that's the sort of style that Wales are playing. It's very, very fast-paced. It's very heavily geared towards playing Gareth Bale and then the counter-attack. And if there's one man in world football that can exploit space and exploit people on the break, it's Gareth Bale. So, you know, expect them to be very dangerous in this tournament. They played well in that first half against England, but I think Roy did get it right in the second half and it did change the game. And Chris Coleman has had a fantastic qualification and a fantastic tournament so far. Didn't really react to that Roy Hodgson change and went a little bit too defensive. Maybe that's a mistake that he had to make and now he's going to sort of evolve from that again. You know, they're just going to be so dangerous on the counter-attack. And if Ramsey's in form, if they're solid in midfield, Joe Allen, who had a very, very good game as well, they've got a lot of potential.
Yeah, there is a lot of potential in there. Who can they play next? That's my question.
So England were supposedly going to get Albania. So I think Wales will face Albania.
If Albania are one of the best third place finishing teams.
Yes, if Albania are the best. If not, I don't know, Lawrence. Anything could happen in this draw.
Okay.
But yeah, so Albania could be a bit of a mismatch. I did mention on TFL Live that whoever Albania play, if they play against pace, they might struggle. They played a Romania side that sort of plays in front of them. They played a French side that sort of plays in front of them. So it could be, and a Swiss side that does play very much in front of them and doesn't have, whenever Switzerland did get in behind, they got in behind a few times, but they just didn't take their chances. So I feel like England or Wales in a way that are ruthless on the break or could be ruthless in England's case. I haven't been tested in that manner yet. They really could cause this Albania side a lot of issues.
Yeah, it wasn't only Gareth Bale tonight, there was. Like you say, there's also Aaron Ramsey in there. And there's a good combo of players. I mean, it seems like what they found is the right formation to get the best out of these guys.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's the Gareth Bale and Ramsey sort of operating behind a lone target man, or not even a target man. Today, I think it might have been Johnny Williams today. Mm. But I think it's fluid, and I think that's the key to it, that it's so fluid in attack. It's very difficult to pick up, and they're happy to sit deep and defend, playing with three centre-backs, and those wing-backs just tuck in and make a five, which is difficult to break down in any type of football, be it League One, League Two, or be it the Champions League. A back five is always difficult to break down. And with Ashley Williams in the middle, they've got a real commanding leader in there. It's looking very, very good for Wales.
Mm. What about England, though, Dave? Because England drew 0-0 and that gave them a second place finish against Slovakia. They could have done much better. They could have done more in this. But ultimately, they didn't create enough.
I think that inherently was the issue. England were far too narrow in the final third and they lacked a natural one. And, we did mention before, in the preview that England did, they could have brought someone like Mikel Antonio, who was banging on about, would have been perfect for a game like this, where England stretched Slovakia when they went wide. Nathaniel Klein was brilliant in the game, created seven chances, three more than any other player on the pitch, and created a good one for Adam Lallana, that cutback that really Slovakia a lot of issues, Lana hitting the target, but probably should have scored. Obviously quite hard, quite critical, that quite harsh, but you've got to take your chances at this level. You have to be ruthless. In the penalty area, Jamie Vardy had a number of chances, probably should have scored that one-on-one again. Going back to his technique could be a little bit of an issue. If he has a bit too much time, think it's not instinctive, that sort of caused Vardy a little bit of issues within his own self. So yeah, I think that a natural wide play could have helped England today. It was all inward. England registered 30 shots against Slovakia, which is a lot of shots, but most of them were coming from outside the area that were either blocked or ballooning wide. So Slovakia did limit England to an area of the pitch that they were very comfortable with. Martin Scott made four blocks in the game, more than any other player on the pitch, and generally had a pretty decent game. Someone that we highlighted before that could have been a place where England could have targeted on the break, or if they got space in behind Skirtle, that England didn't really do enough. Really annoying. Jamie Vardy running the near post twice in the opening 10 minutes, and it started to look like there was a big issue there that they could deal with at the Slovakian defence. But then England just didn't attack down that avenue, and it was very frustrating, as always it is an England fan. I think Eric Dier was England's best player. Completed the most passes deep in midfield, broke up the play well. But you don't really want your defensive midfielder completing all the passes. You want to be further up. You want to be higher up. Someone like Jack Wilshere, who for me was awful in the first half. Attempted 27 passes, only completing 22 of those, equivalent of 81%. It wasn't good enough for Jack Wilshere. Passing in wrong areas, not controlling the game, which should have been well. Did get introduced on the 56th minute. Potentially that should have been a bit earlier, because Wayne Rooney has been good in this tournament at controlling the tempo in stages.
I mean, that leaves England with, in the next round, the 50% chance of facing Hungary, according to PA. Roughly 14 to 17% chance of facing Austria, Portugal or Iceland. Those are sort of based on match odds and aggregation and those sort of things. Although apparently it's very difficult, sort of results-wise, for England to end up facing Portugal. Still interesting, though, Dave, because it's not really just about the next game. It's also about the route that then England then have to take to the final.
Yeah, so in terms of the route, I only saw the route of England finishing top, because that's exactly what I thought. So who have England got now, Lawrence? What side of the tournament then? Are they on the Germany side? Are they on the France? They're on the France side, I think, aren't they?
I think so.
I've
literally recorded this almost right after the game, so I've not actually had a chance to take a look.
I think if they win the quarters, I think if they win the last 16 game, they will face France. And they'll face Dimitri Payet in good form. They'll other players that potentially might hit a bit of form in the stage of the tournament.
Yeah, that is worrying. Obviously, also, that means that Slovakia are most likely to go through at this point.
Yeah, you'd say so. I think the 4 points is, I think they're pretty much through. I'd say 3 or 4 points would definitely get you through in this structure of the tournament. So yeah, I'd say Slovakia are through. I think they knew that as well. I think they were 100% playing for that 0-0 draw, and they did it very well.
Yeah. Other news.
Frustrating
today,
as always.
I mean, it is frustrating for England, but at the same time, they sort of deserve it. I think, you know, people are talking about rotation of all sorts of people, sort of England bringing on Rooney too late and all those kind of things. But ultimately, that side that was fielded tonight should have done a better job and tactically should have done better.
Yeah, I think they didn't get enough players in between the midfield and the defence of Slovakia and really cause some problems there. I think that was an issue. Dele Alli looked quite bright when he came on, was making the right runs in behind, but they just lack so much.
Obviously, there are a lot of other headlines today. England go through, obviously, and there's a lot of good things to happen. Jordan Shaqiri, obviously, with his quote about Puma. I hope they don't produce condoms. Puma have apparently launched an investigation into how so many shirts ended up ripping in the Switzerland game, because there were a lot of ripped shirts, Dave, and I was sort of confused by that.
Yeah, I think there was the most ripped in a single game of the Euro so far, Lawrence. 4 shirts, in fact, splitting open after some pretty cheap tugs. You know, there were some pretty, you know, potential yellow card moments there with all the shirts ripping. You know, cynical fouling from the likes of Pogba and the gang.
But at the same time, we were also saying how if you got sort of like a high end game and people are ripping hard enough, you are likely to rip a shirt.
Yeah, I think so. These lads are all athletes, aren't they? Big. You know, people will work out a lot, so they'll be reasonably strong. But I think they did seem a bit soft.
Maybe.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dave Wanyama's moved to Spurs for 11 million.
Yeah, interesting signing. I've been linked with Spurs for a while. Adam will probably be quite happy, but I do feel that Eric Dier's playing that role for Spurs, and he plays it a lot better than Victor Wanyama. Victor Wanyama's quite a limited player, good at breaking the ball up, but that's pretty much it in a way. Whereas Eric Dier does have that extra element to his game of being a ball player, being a centre back, being a full back before he moved into midfield, and you know, dictating the play from deep. So I think it's an interesting one, but it will give Spurs depth, and it will also give the option of playing both Wanyama and Eric Dier. You know, if they did play in a bigger game and they want to put a tough tackler in there against an Arsenal or someone like that, then it's a good option.
Fair enough. Mamadou Sissoko, I should probably say that right, Mamadou Sissoko learns of his possible drugs ban in 3 weeks. Weird how it's going to come post Euro 2016, Dave, at this point. And almost frustrating for him because he would have wanted to be in the France squad. This all could have happened a lot quicker, it's fair to say.
Yeah, I think it was in February, right, when they first got, because it was in that Champions League game, we wish, eh, Lawrence, the Europa League game between Man United and Liverpool. So that was a long time ago. So I don't know how, what, you know, surely you did take a blood test, you can, you know, you find the findings within 24 hours. I don't understand what's taking so long.
Yeah, I guess that must be really frustrating for him because he has lost out on a full tournament here.
Mm.
Dave, is Ronaldo showing himself in the best light at this tournament? We were talking about Portugal a little bit tonight on TFR. And, you know, essentially, you know, they've not done great at this tournament. You know, that he's now got all these terrible stats against him about missing the most set pieces, etc. And that sort of thing must be very frustrating for him. He's still the best chance of getting through to the next round, though? Or, I hate to say it, but is he almost like a Rooney-esque figure for Portugal at this point?
Nah, I think he'll as soon as he scores one, he'll score a hat-trick. I think Ronaldo, you know, if you go into the bookmakers now, you'd find great value in Ronaldo, top scorer for the Euros, because that's just on the volume of shots that he's had. He's had 20 shots at the tournament so far. The next player is on 9. That is a hell of a margin. You know, that's sort of Champions League Ronaldo figures. So just expect him to hit the back of the net once and he will go on and start smashing teams.
Not only that,
I feel like this Portuguese team...
He's got to beat Bale, so there's a bit of personal competition there.
There is, yeah, the personal banter. Bale obviously 3 ahead, so Ronaldo does have to score a hat-trick in the last game to get up there, and I feel he will do. I feel this Portuguese team is going to be very dangerous in the knockout stages just because they have a lot of workers in that side and they do have the finesse of Nani and Ronaldo and Charisma up top. But I think they should play 2 of them. I think 3 is a bit too much. In the first game, they played 2 of them. I thought Portugal were really good in the first half against Iceland. They struggled in the second half. I think they were a bit too cocky. Mm. But again, in the next game, they played the 3 of them. They played Nani, Charisma and Ronaldo. I think that's a bit of a mistake. I feel play without that diamond in midfield and then 2 of those forwards up top and then just let them break. Let them go wide. Let them attack people. Give them the freedom. Defend with 8. Leave 2 up top.
Let's go to another guy who is somewhat of a talismanic figure. Ibrahimovic, his agent, has said United bound Zlatan wants revenge over Guardiola. That's it. N'Golo Kante is apparently very much wanted by Real Madrid. That would be an interesting one. And Dave, Ryan Giggs is set to take a break.
Yeah, I think that could be a good thing for him. He's been in the limelight for a while, right?
Not be Notts Forest manager?
Again, that's a very competitive championship that's got a quality in terms of players. And it's very, very difficult to get out of that league. So I feel it might be a step too far for just dropping in there as your first job. You know, I'd say go back to League One and go to League Two. Do what Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank did with Burton Albion. You know, go deep and then maybe go for the likes of QPR like Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank did. I feel that a break could be quite good because he's been playing football since, what, the age of, you know, 11, a very, very high level, be it, you know, youth level then for Manchester United and then straight into the assistant manager role. So it could be good for Ryan Giggs just to get his head right, you know, get his tactical beliefs down, maybe go travelling like Guardiola did, go to speak to Bielsa, go and check out these, you know, wonderful managers around the world. But yeah, it could be good for him.
Interesting. And of course, Dave, we've got to go to tomorrow's previews. There's 2 games at 5, 2 games at 8. This is all to prevent those guys from cheating. Because cheating is, of course, a big issue. But before that, Laurent Blanc is leaving PSG, Dave.
Interesting. I think it was about time this PSG team, this last Champions League season, that should have been their time. You know, they should have beaten City. He went with a 3-5-5-2 playing Sergio Aurier at centre-back. Sergio Aurier doesn't strike me as the smartest of footballers. A bit of a mistake for me. So it's probably time for Blanc to go. If you've watched his PSG team play domestically, they're boring as anything. They play with no tempo. They do beat teams by a lot of goals, but it's not an exciting brand of football. So I think it's probably about time for him to move on. And someone like Emery to get a job finally, you know, the Sevilla boss that's a big rumour to take over, finally get that chance of taking on a big team and see what he can do there, because he's so good at building a team around one player. So it'd be interesting to see whether it's Di Maria, whether it's Edison Cavani that he builds this next PSG team around. Or even Kevin Gramero back
to PSG. I was going
to
say, yeah, is there another option that PSG are going to bring in, someone new?
Well, Gamero was at PSG before he went to Sevilla, wasn't he? So A trip back there for him could be quite a good move.
Will it happen, though? Let's find out. Or will, say, a Bale move there? It also looks as if Ched Evans, because he's getting a retrial, can sign for Chesterfield. I'm not going to ask for any opinion on this, Dave.
No. But, not good.
He's going to sign 3 months before the rape retrial, which apparently, most people are saying looks like a foregone conclusion now because of what Chesterfield must at some point know. Or at least in the eyes of the law, let's put it this way. He is, Anyway, in the eyes of the law, he's an innocent man right now. And apparently the Russian supporters chief, Alexander, I think it's Shepregin, arrested again in France after attending his 3-0 defeat to Wales. I mean, let's put it this way. I mean, I know it's fine, but it's all well and good being nationalistic. Be nationalistic when your team are winning. Russia possibly the worst team at this tournament so far, Dave?
Confirmed.
Comfortably. Yeah.
Yeah, comfortably. Rubbish. Yeah.
Unfortunately, because actually a couple of people have tweeted us and said, you know, they have the potential to be so much more. And actually, you know, they're quite an aggressive team to watch. There's something quite nice about that, isn't there?
Yeah, they do have potential. Obviously, the injuries are what's sort of killed them.
We didn't really cover the Croatia fans so in depth yesterday. I've sort of read up a little bit more on them since. Obviously, it's very different to actual fan violence. But Dave, what were your opinions on the flair situation? I mean, I spoke yesterday. I said it was very different sort of attacks on the street, that kind of thing. And I know we sort of need to separate the two. You know, it still doesn't stop us from being appalled by what went on. And obviously, it stopped the game. Those fans have now been fined and threatened with ticket bans, etc. Do you think that goes far enough, or do you think that there does need to be just a sort of a look? You're not welcome at this tournament anymore.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I think it's all due to a protest on the Croatian Football Federation, which is a strange one to do it at the international tournament. When it just seems a bit peculiar. It seems like there's a big split in their fans. That's quite, you know, a little bit of a in joke with with Split being one of the big teams in Croatia with Zagreb. Maybe it's a hooligan element that are clashing with each other within the fans. But surely you should get behind the boys together and fight the Russians. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, I mean that is part of it. Is a little bit unusual, but at the same time, you know, you sort of want the biggest stage to show your FA. That you
fair point.
I mean, it's not like the Russians or the English are sort of protesting when they're fighting, is it? It's very different.
No.
On the plus side, Zlatan Ibrahimovic has been named in the provisional squad for Sweden. And we just heard from Kristen that there's been some fantastic performances in Copa America. Let's preview. Oh, and also Tim Cahill is looking to join Melbourne City. There you go. Now, David, let's preview tomorrow's games. I know I keep preluding that. Ukraine-Poland, first of all. The two previous hosts of the tournament in 2012 meet each other. Poland will be feeling supremely confident, Dave, but Ukraine need the result here.
Well, yeah, I think it'll be it'll be 100%. I feel Poland have got too much for the Ukraine here. Ukraine have been very, very poor in this tournament. So I think, yeah, I'm going to go with Poland 2-0, two goals from Lewandowski.
Yeah, I mean, Poland could potentially still finish, as long as they don't lose badly to the Ukraine, still get one of those better third-place finishes because they sit on top of the group, second in the group, but just one goal difference, one goal behind Germany. Dave, do you think this one's probably going to be the best game that we've seen for Poland so far? Because obviously they've been quite limited in the previous two by the two sides that they've played, but with Ukraine sitting bottom, you know, essentially not really being able to play for anything because of their goal difference, it could look like Poland sort of flex a little bit here.
Yeah, I think so. I think with they face two different ways of negating them in a way, with Northern Ireland sitting so deep and sitting with so many men behind the ball back five, and then playing Germany, just dominated the ball. So they were strangled in both games, but in very different ways. Still, this could be the game where they really open it up and score some goals.
Northern Ireland play Germany. How do Northern Ireland approach this one, Dave? Because Northern Ireland sit in that group on 3 points, plus one goal difference as well. You know, do you sort of go out there and attack them early on, or do you bunker in?
Yeah, you bunker. You get the bunker out. You sit very, very deep. You sit with your five, your DM in front, and you just two-hole and did bend deep, defend with no space in between the lines, and then look to counter with their forwards. You know, that's what they can do, really. That's it. They need to just do that and, you know, see out the game, pick up the draw, and then they're sweet, right?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's just getting through, whereas Germany will want to finish on 7 points, finish top of the group, won't they?
Yeah, exactly. So we might see Mario Gomez may make his big introduction with a goal.
You know what? It wouldn't be such a terrible thing to play Mario Gomez against that back line, would it?
Not at all, no. I think you've got to get as many forwards in the box there. So Muller, Gomez, I play them as a two up top, and I think you've just got to support them. You get as many runners into the box, maybe André Schürrl from the left, because that's the only way that you're going to sort of beat your pack defences by is trying to overload them in certain areas.
Czech Republic versus Turkey next up, Dave, and this one's the 8 o'clock kickoff, deciding the group. This one's Turkey obviously put themselves in a difficult position in this group because they've basically been outplayed twice. Similar situation here?
It's going to be a tough. I think this might be a draw, you know.
Really?
I just feel the Czech Republic aren't great. Turkey have been pretty poor. I just can't see either team. One team will take the lead and the other one will equalise. I'm going to go 1-1.
Well, I mean, Turkey really don't have much of a chance again now. They're going to have to get a pretty big scoreline against Czech Republic. But Czech Republic may still have a chance of creeping through their -1 goal difference and just 1 point in the group. They sit behind Croatia and Spain, who play each other at the top of the group. Paul Merson, of course, Dave, earlier in the week, said that he could beat this parsi Spain team.
Good old Paul. Still hitting the old...
I mean, he possibly could, though, Dave, because there seems to be disharmony in the Spain squad, as Pedro says, and I'm going to quote directly here. It's not worth his time going there and being part of the group. Bit weird, don't you think? It's almost ungrateful.
Well, yeah, very ungrateful, but I think that his place has been taken by Nolito, a player that's been very impressed in the second game. Was absolutely awesome. His movement was great. He did the perfect thing for Spain, and that's run away from the ball and just keep moving and keeping your head up and you know, taking his goal very well and getting an assist. But Morata, again, a striker that he's hitting a little bit of form, poor first game as well. So I feel like this Spain team will, I think they've just got a bit more, they've got a bit too much for this Croatia side.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to him, he has only played 10 minutes so far, but yeah. Just a little bit too much, though, Dave. Do you think it's all about that winning it in the midfield? And that's where Spain essentially have...
Yeah, I think with Andres Iniesta
running it, and also, obviously, Busquets as well.
Yeah, I think Busquets has played a peripheral role this tournament. Iniesta's been so good. Just imagine, you know, Iniesta's going to dominate the game, going to control it. I just imagined it's going to be a Spain win. But they do, you know, Croatia do have their qualities. Obviously, Luka Modric in there, Rakitic, who's been very impressed with in the tournament. It'll be a very good game of football.
It certainly will be a very good game of football. Germany, another team. They're a bit like Spain, you know, parsi, don't really hurt you. Great words of Paul Merson there. Barcelona's great guys are having a wonderful time on the opposite side of the world. Dave, are you a fan of the beard on Lionel Messi?
I think it looks cool. Looks a little bit like Chubby, doesn't he? We all love Chubby on this podcast.
Yeah, no, we really do. Yeah, apparently it makes him look a little bit older.
Mm, a bit more mature.
Dave, the NBA finals finished last night. Do you know
what
who
happened,
won?
Lawrence?
Do you know who won?
Who won? You
the
tell me.
The Cleveland Cavaliers.
No bloody way. Yeah, is that the first time they've won it in 50 years?
That's the first time they've... I mean, it's impressive because it's definitely the first time they won it with LeBron James. LeBron leading them last night to that. Actually, it was more like Kyrie, but LeBron James did some impressive defensive work as well and then came on strong at the end. Dave, there was an interesting thing earlier in the tournament where emojis were launched for Steph Curry, and it was for a little while the top grossing app on iTunes. If you could launch any emojis for football players, who would you launch an emoji for? I mean, it has to be a full set as well.
A full set? Shit. I think Rooney would be quite funny. You could have some quite funny faces for Rooney, like showing his emotions. That'd be quite good. Other players... I don't know, I think you've got to go with your Ronaldo's as well, you know, emoji with him in his pants.
Oh, good. Yeah, I like that one.
Good emoji.
I suppose you could go for team emojis. I was thinking about it. Just that one sort of come up as well. If you can think of emojis for anyone, let us know. And later in the week, we'll go through the best emojis of any tournament. You'd probably go for 7-1 for Brazil. maybe you could also go for some crushed glasses for Klopp. Maybe a fat Spanish waiter. No. Or maybe Sir Alex, you could get something else. Maybe a horse for him. Or Michael Owen. Anyway, it's been good to have you guys. Dave, if people want to go and find your work more around town, where would they find it?
Go onto YouTube, type in Dave Talks, and check out some top quality videos. What about you, Lawrence? Where do we find you?
You can find me on TFR Live most days. You can also find me on Ball Street every now and again. And of course, you'll find me all over the internet at Lozcast, LOZCAST. We're hoping to have Adam Boltwood back very... Whoops. We're hoping that Adam Boltwood back very, very soon. But until we do, it's been good to have you, Dave. It's been good to have Kristen as well. It's been good to have you guys. We'll see you again real soon on TF3.
Remember, Adam, stay safe. Don't have too many pints.
Yeah, not too many, although just enough. Apparently, yeah. I mean, Rory reported in live and said that Adam's a bit of a beer monster.
No, I can confirm that being on having a few nights out in London with him. So, yeah, Adam will be safe.
Yeah. He definitely will be safe. Let's put it that way. anyway, Adam, stay safe. We love you, darling. Just come home, all right? See you later. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye-bye. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.